Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everybody. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Samach Gimel. We fell a little bit behind over the course of Yontov, but the good news is that Brachos will be over. That's not good news, but Brachos will be over tomorrow, and we are given tomorrow a full daf, a full day, even though there's only a half an Amud for tomorrow, so that'll give us ample time to catch up. We are on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We're in the very bottom of the Amud. And we are still engaged in bathroom talk. The Gemara says that if you want to know if someone's tanua, so you got to see him in the bathroom. But that, of course, take into account that you're not supposed to see him in the bathroom because he's tanua. So it creates a little bit of a rub. But that's where the Gemara has been talking about now for nearly an entire Amud, even a little bit more than that. The Gemara actually told the story yesterday with Rav Nachman where somebody was eulogizing a particular person. And he says that this guy was very tzanua. And Rav Nachman got very angry and said, you don't know how tzanua he is. You didn't see him in the bathroom. And while in the bathroom, you can really tell if a person is tzanua. We'll get more of this sentiment over the course of today as we continue on this discussion. When the bomb, the Amud, Tana Rabbanan. So I know I did a little bit of this yesterday, but this just starts the topic nice and fresh. So we start again. Samach Beis Amud Aleph, 62A, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the second one in the line. Tanu Rabbanan Ezu Tzanua Zeh Nifna Balayla B'Makom Shenifna Bayom. So who is Tzanua? Where when you go out, the place you go out at night in order to relieve yourself is going to be the same place that you go out during the day. Now, as we discussed over the course of yesterday's daf, during the day you have to go out far away. According to one opinion, you have to be out of view of everybody. We modified that viewpoint a little bit, but in other words, you really got to go far away so that nobody sees you. Again, indoor plumbing was just a dream back in the good old days, so you have to go really far away. So the same thing is true at night. Even though at night no one's going to see you, even though at night it's dark, but the Braisa says you got to go just as far away. Ini, the Gemara says, but is that really correct? So first of all, the Gemara quotes the name of Rav, that you should really train yourself to go to the bathroom early in the morning and late in the evening so that you won't have to go so far away. Meaning that the purpose of going early morning and late night is so that you can just simply stay within a certain proximity. And furthermore, Rav Abiyamama, Ava Azad Mil, Ova Laila Amalish, Mai Penuli Duchtaber, Chava Damasa. And furthermore, Rava, during the day, he would walk a kilometer in order to go to the bathroom so that he would be private. And then at night, he would just simply say to his attendant, just make sure everything's all clear in the back. And Rabbi Zera did the same thing with his attendant, asked the attendant to make sure all is clear in the back, and he would go into the back, and he would go and relieve himself in the back. So you see that that you don't have to run away at night to the same degree that you do during the day, to which the Gemara concedes, and the Gemara says, you're right, lo tema b'makam ala ema, kederech shenifne bayom. What it means is, no, you're right. The way that you are nifne during the day is going to be the same way at night. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, I quoted this Rashi yesterday. Let's take a look at this Rashi again, meaning that when you relieve yourself, obviously means that you're going to have to uncover your body. So anytime you uncover your body, that's going to be a breach of tzniyus. So obviously you have to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to do it. But you want to minimize. How do you minimize? So Rashi says, the first thing you do is you sit down, then you uncover yourself. Right? We talked about this earlier in the third paragraph of Brachos. Rashi quotes it. So that's what it means. That at night, even though no one's going to see you, no one can see you, but still, you have to conduct yourself in that same form of modesty. Now, Rav Ashi will say that, well, maybe we can go back to the Braisa, and maybe we could say an adjusted pshat in the Braisa, meaning the original Braisa was that if you're nifna balayla in the same place that you nifna during the day. So what does that mean, the same place? So the Gemara now would like to offer another pshat. It means that just like during the day, you're going to go into a corner, meaning an area where people will not see you. Same thing is true at night, meaning you don't have to travel as far, but the area that you go is going to be a private area, not an exposed and uncovered area. The Gemara again goes back to the statement of Rav. Train yourself that you go early in the morning and late in the evening, so that way you don't have to walk far away in order to go to the bathroom. The Gemara quotes this in a braisa as well. Mishamish v'shev al teshev v'tim u'mishamish. Okay. Now, there is a form of manipulation to help a person go to the bathroom. Outside of that, I don't know if there's any more I'd either can explain or like to explain. Okay, but there is definitely a form of manipulation. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi describes what can help the movement. So Rashi says, "Bitzura b'kisam l'vtoch nekavim k'damrim mitzach Shabbos." So we're actually on the border of starting mitzach Shabbos. So Rashi over here, it's late in Mishabbos, it's daf pei beis. But anyway, okay, just right now, it suffices to say that there is a way to manipulate. So the Gemara says that manipulation of your bowel movement should be done while you're standing, not after you're sitting. Okay. I'm sure there's a better way to understand the Gemara, more adequate than what I'm doing right now, but you get the basic idea, at least, or maybe not. Shekola Yoshev Mamash Me Shafilo Osin Kshafim Baspam Yabayin Alav. The Gemara says if you manipulate yourself after you sit down, the Gemara says you become very prone and very susceptible. And even if there's sorcery that's done all the way out in Espana, which presumably is Spain, meaning out there, Yenem, but nevertheless, it's going to, somehow it's going to find its way to you because you manipulated yourself after you sat down. All right, I'm admitting I don't understand what's going on right now in the Gemara, but at least it's suffice to say right now, it's not the way to do it. The proper way to do it is to first manipulate and then sit down. Now, let's say you forgot, meaning that normally you manipulate yourself and then you sit down as the Gemara just instructed. But let's say you sit down and then manipulate yourself. What do? You forgot, says the Gemara. So there is something that you could say that could ward off the kshafim, the black magic, if you will. Loli, loli. So the Gemara here gives the incantation. As I would suggest to nobody over here, I would tell everybody, don't try this at home. So lo li lo li lo tachim v'lo tachtim lo hani v'lo mehani lo charsha decharsha v'lo charsha decharashta. Okay, and we move on. We're on the top now of Samach Beis Amud Beis Tanya Ben Azi Omer al kol mishkav shachav chutz min hakarka. Don't sleep on the floor. I know we're getting this advice really timely. In other words, it's sukkahs, and a lot of people make an attempt to sleep in the sukkah. It's difficult here in South Florida, but there is many people who make a very holy attempt to do so. The Gemara says, do not sleep on the floor. This is the advice of Ben Azai. And sit on anything pretty much, but don't sit on a beam. Now, I don't think the Gemara here means a bench. It means specifically a beam, the one that's suspended in the air. You're worried that you're going to fall. The Amar Shmuel, Shena Ba'amar HaShachar, Ki Istam Al-Parzala. I'm sleep in the really early morning. So the Gemara says, that's excellent. Right? In other words, obviously, the sleeping into the morning is not excellent. But sleeping in the very early morning, that's excellent. That's the best sleep, says the Gemara. It's like Istam al-Parzala. It's like steel for iron, meaning just like steel hardens iron and makes it stronger, so too is sleep in the really early morning. Bar kapara hava mizave mila bedinari. Bar kapara would sell advice, and he would sell for dinarim, for coins, and we get it for free. I guess we get a special deal today. So right when you're hungry, eat. Meaning, the moment you get an appetite, don't wait. You know what I mean? In other words, you have an appetite, you say to yourself, I'm really hungry. All right, whatever, I'll eat later. Right? We're good. Generally speaking, we're good about that. Meaning, we tend to eat when we're hungry. The problem is we tend to eat when we're not hungry, but that's a different schmooze. That's different advice. That's not today's advice. Today's advice is eat when you're hungry. And also, the moment that you're thirsty, so you should drink. Don't wait, but drink when you're thirsty. When your pot is boiling, so pour it out. Now, this is a euphemism, Rashi says. This is not talking about cooking food. This is talking about your bowel movement. When you feel the need to go, don't wait, but go when you feel the need to go. When the horn blows in Rome, so bar mizvan to eini tena davuchas oven. So that's the time to sell. Now, the market had a specific calling, talking about the actual market. And so when they blew the horn in Rome, so that's the time that you should sell. And even if it's your father's figs, make sure to sell it, meaning without having received permission from your father, but you know that dad wants to capitalize on a business opportunity. And so therefore, when the horn blows in Rome, and your father's whatever, he's not around right now, So make sure to take your father's figs, bring it to the market, and sell it to the market. That's anyway what dad would have wanted. Abaye says to the rabbis, to the young rabbis of the town of Mechuza, look, when you guys want to go out to the field, in order to relieve yourself, and there's a little pathway to get out to the field, and you're going to walk through that narrow pathway, lo sechzo, lo lahakisa, velo lahakisa. Make sure not to look on this side nor on that side as well. Because there are women sitting along the pathway, and you got to keep focused, and you got to look straight, and it's not proper. It's not derech eretz to look at the women. Rav Safra ala beis akisa eser Rabbi Abba Nachar le Abava. Rav Safra went to the bathroom. Now again, I don't know what we're describing over here. It's not like what we have, but an area dedicated to a bathroom. Let's just leave it at that. And along comes Rabbi Abba and Nachar le Abava. Now I would say he knocks at the door, but that's not a good translation. Nechira means like he grunted. Okay, so in other words, he basically wanted to know if anyone was in the bathroom, so he grunted from outside. So there was a doorway to get into this area. So Amalei Leomar. So Rav Safra, who was already in the bathroom, so he said, while in the bathroom, come on in. Okay, now, there are two issues that are going to be, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. The Gemara does not really provide for us clarity, meaning what the Gemara will be clear from the Gemara is Rav Safra's action is definitely not encouraged. In fact, it is not good behavior in terms of what Safra did. What is unclear from the Gemara is what's not good about what he did. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara here is that he spoke while being in the bathroom, meaning in the bathroom one should not speak, and so he spoke while in the bathroom. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara over here, and that is what the affront was on this particular scenario. The way the other Mefarshim explained the Gemara has nothing to do with talking in the bathroom, although that's not sneeze to talk in the bathroom, but rather the issue is to have two people in the bathroom relieving themselves at the same time. That is a breach of sneeze, and that's what the affront is over here. So really, there are more than one way to explain the Gemara here, but at least with Rashi, the Rashi issue is that he spoke while in the bathroom. So, look, you're going out to Seir, you're going out to Rome, and you haven't even gone yet, and you're behaving like the Romans. Now, love hachitanan. Remember the Mishnah and Talmud? It was really not that long ago when we were learning the Mishnah and Talmud together. There was a bonfire there. Where are we talking about? We're talking about the Beis Hamokan. You remember the structures around the Beis Hamikdash. So on the north side of the Beis Hamikdash, you had this big structure. It had a dome on top of it. It was part of the wall entering into the Azara from the north side. It had a dome on top of it. It was called the Beis Hamokan. And the Beis Hamokan was divided into four mini rooms in each one of the corners. And in the center of the room, it had a bonfire. And the reason why it had a bonfire over there is so that the Kohanim during the cold months would be able to warm up their feet. Remember, they did not have shoes on when they went into the Beis Hamokan. Now, what there was is that if a Kohen needed to go to the bathroom, they had a labyrinth where you basically walked down the steps of the Beis Hamokan, and there were underground tunnels, and one of them led to a bathroom. Okay? And this is a Mishnah and Talmud. Madur Aisa Shama Beis HaKisa Shol Kavod. And the bathroom was given a name, which, it's funny, in other words, colloquially, kind of like tongue-in-cheek, we use this kind of type of terminology, but the Mishnah uses it, it's Kisei Shel Kavod, the throne of honor. Okay? That's how the Mishnah in Talmud describes the bathroom. Now, Vizeya Kvoda, now when the Mishnah is using that term, the Mishnah, I'm sure they all had a great sense of humor, but the Mishnah did not mean it tongue-in-cheek. The Mishnah actually meant it as, it was honorific. There was something honorific about the bathroom. It had a lock on the door. I know to us it's like that's not a big deal, but I understand it. In other words, it was a function of tznius. They had a lock on the door of the bathroom so that if it was locked, somebody was there, and if it was not locked, so that means that nobody was there. Now, so what you did was totally inappropriate. So again, according to Rashi, you spoke while it was in the while you were in the bathroom, and according to the other Mefarshim, you were thinking of going in while someone else is in the bathroom. Or, sorry, you invited me in while you were still in the bathroom. Behusavar, now, the person who was in the bathroom, the Amora, who was in the bathroom, he thought what he did was doing was okay. Why? Because he thought, look, someone's on the front in front of the bathroom, wanting to come in, wanting access. You know what? He needs to go. And as we already stated once before, and we're going to state now again, if you need to go, you need to go. And it's not a good thing to hold it in. In fact, the Gemara says it's a sakana, it's danger. And if you hold in your bowels, so the Gemara says it leads to an ailment called hidrakon. Do not know how to translate that into English, but it's not good. And if you hold in, huh?
It says dropsy.
Right. Still hasn't helped me. It's bad. I know it's bad. It's a bad ailment. And it's and seal a chosen, if you hold in your urine, so it'll lead to some sort of jaundice, some sort of infection. So I was thinking, meaning I know it's not sneeze to let him in while I'm in, or I know it's not sneeze for me to talk while I'm in the bathroom, but I had his health in mind, and I thought that that was a mitigating factor. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Lazar, Alabesakise, Asai Parsai, and Dachke. So Rabbi Lazar, while sitting in the bathroom, along comes a Persian and pushes his way into the bathroom. So this is awkward, obviously. In other words, while he's in the bathroom, so someone just sits along right next to him. Okay? Come Rabbi Lazar, enough, folks. So Rabbi Lazar says, okay, I get the hint. So he walks out of the bathroom. Asa darkona shamte lekarkashe. Out comes the snake and bites this Persian right on the rear. So while sitting, so Kari Allah Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Lazar says, "Wow, the etin adam tachtecha, al tikrei adam el adam." In other words, the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, "And I'll put another man in your place." And he darshans the pasuk, not only another man, but an Edomite, meaning a Roman, right? It seems like this person was not actually a Persian. It seems like it was a Roman. Whatever the case is, in other words, I was supposed to be sitting there, and it was me who was supposed to get bitten. But, in other words, because the Persian pushed his way in, and because I wanted to comply to the rules of tznius, so somebody else took my place. Thankfully, obviously. The Amar lahagacha v'tachas alecha. V'amar v'amarti mibayle. Okay. We go to Shmuel. Okay? We're going to be a couple places throughout Shmuel today. We're going to learn a little bit of Navi together today. Why are we here? So, because it fits into our bathroom talk. As we've been discussing now for the last couple of days, as we will continue to discuss through the course of today, it fits in with our bathroom talk. So, the first place we're going to is Shmuel Aleph, Perek, Chaf, Dalet. Okay, Shaul and David had a very interesting relationship, but most of it was bad. Most of it. Some of it was good, but most of it was bad. He was a son-in-law, so... You know, I don't know whether that fits in bad or good, but it got to the point where David was going to become the king, and Shaul realized that, wait a second, I'm the king. Oh, that's not good, because Shaul then realizes that David is going to take over. And so Shaul spends a good part of the Navi attempting to kill David. There was a point where David actually had a chance to kill Shaul and doesn't do so and spares him. So, and this is Perek Chaf Dalet, the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet.
Yud Aleph.
Huh?
Yud Aleph.
Yud Aleph? Yeah. Okay, good. So, right. So the Vayikach Shoshalfim Mishpachor Mikol Yisrael Vayelach Levakesh is David. I'm going through the Navi inside, just so you understand why we're here, why we're discussing this. So Shaul needs to go to the bathroom, meaning the Navi tells us that Shaul needs to go. So he goes into a cave, and Shaul, meaning for all the things you want to say about Shaul, which are bad, which we're not going to say, meaning whatever the Navi says, the Gemara here takes the opportunity from this pasuk to show us that Shaul was extraordinarily modest. In fact, the Gemara will tell us that he achieved one of the highest degrees of modesty. And here's an example where he goes to urinate and he goes into a cave in order to urinate. And the Gemara is going to discuss this in even greater detail. But let me just go through some of the psukim. So what do the people say to David? Shaul's in a cave. And we're here and we are numbering him. Let's go get him. And what David does is he goes inside and he really could have killed Shaul. He cuts off a piece of Shaul's clothing. And David has a moment of compassion and sympathy, and he says, I can't do it. He's anointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't kill him. And the opportunity has passed, and Shaul walks out of the cave, and Shaul doesn't realize that David really had a chance to kill him, but spared his life. And David calls out to Shaul, and he says to him, Adoni HaMelech, Vayabeishal Acharav, Vayiko David Apayim Artsav Yishtachu. And you have now a meeting, an actual encounter between David and Shaul. But Yomer David l'Shaul, Lama Sishma is Divrei Adam Lemor, Hine David Mevakesh Ra'asecha. Meaning, I know what people are telling you, says David to Shaul. Everyone's telling you that David wants to hurt you. It's not true. Hine Ayom Azer Ruhi Nechas Asher Nesancha Hashem Ayom Biyadi B'Mara. Because just a little bit earlier today, I saw you in the cave. I was there with you in the cave. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, not I said, and it was suggested that I should kill you. And I had Rachmanus. And I said, I'm not going to kill you because you're an anointed one. And to prove it, and here I have a piece of your garment which I cut off. And it's proof that I had an opportunity to kill you, and I did not kill you. And you keep trying to hunt me down, and I'm really not trying to kill you. Okay. That is a little bit of the background. So now we go to the Gemara over here. Let me go back. Sorry. Yeah, it's funny. I made that mistake, and the Gemara is not going to pick up on it. V'amar, v'amarti mi ba'ilei. Meaning, what does that mean, v'amar? And it was said. What do you mean, it was said? Amarti, I said. V'tachas, v'chasti mi ba'ilei. And there was compassion. What do you mean, there was compassion? The shouldn't of David said to Shaul, and I was compassionate? So, Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar lo David, l'shaul min ha-Torah, Ben Hariga Atash. Aradef Atav Atorah Amra Baal Agachash Kem Lagam. Okay. So David says to Shaul as follows. First of all, I have every right to kill you, meaning you're a Rodef. And we all know that when someone pursues you to kill you, see, you have every right to turn around and to kill that person. Okay, so in other words, by right, I could have killed you. So, but you had extra sneers, meaning that I saw you in the bathroom, and I saw that you, even while you were in the cave, you conducted yourself with an extra level of sneas. And the Gemara goes to the beginning of the parak that we went through together. And it says that Shaul went inside in order to urinate. Tana geder lifnim min geder. Meaning, the Gemara is darshaning, gidros hatson. Now, the Gemara understands that it was not just a fence, but it was multiple fences. A fence within a fence. So in other words, in order for Shaul to go to the bathroom, he jumped behind a fence, behind a fence, behind that. He went into a cave in the cave. La Sech. So in other words, he went to extreme degrees in order to be sanu, in order to be modest. And furthermore, it's amazing that we get to read this today, Chol Hamoed Sukkos, and he was mesachich himself, he covered himself like a sukkah, enveloped and wrapped, even while he was in the cave, he wrapped himself up like a sukkah in order to urinate. The Gemara does this often, as long as we're here now, and we got a chance to learn one drasha regarding the story, so the Gemara is going to quote a couple of other drashas as well. Vayakam David vayichros es kanaf amil asher l'shaul balat. So he cut off a piece of the garment of Shaul. Now, in the context of the story, that was good, meaning he wanted to make his point to Shaul that I could have killed you, but I didn't. The Gemara over here does not treat David well regarding this action of cutting off his garment. If you degrade clothing, meaning clothing is something that should be treated with respect, right? Aside from it providing you warmth, it also it honors a person. Right? The Gemara Shabbos, we'll get to it shortly enough. I forget who. All right. One of the Amoraim say that instead of calling it clothing, I refer to it as mechubadai. It honors me. So in other words, you can't mistreat clothing. And later, at the end of David's life, at the beginning of Sefer Melachim, David gets a chill. He tries to put clothing on, and the clothing doesn't warm him. And the Gemara understands, mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Since he treated Shaul's clothing with a lack of dignity, so therefore later in his life, clothing did not end up warming him. So the Gemara now goes ahead. Now we're moving a little bit ahead in the story. We're up to Perchav Vav now. And Amar Velaz Amar Le'akash Baruch Hu LeDavid Meisis Karish Li. Meaning that what David says is to Shaul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enticed you to go and chase me. Now the Gemara basically deals with the philosophical issue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did no such thing. Meaning everyone has free choice, everyone is Bechir Chavshis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did no such thing as enticing somebody to go against David. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took offense to that, and he said, what do you mean I enticed Shaul? I did no such thing. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to see enticement? I'll show you enticement. I'll lead you astray, Hashem says to David, and you're going to make a mistake on something where a school child, meaning someone with the most rudimentary yeshiva education, would know not to do. Which is, David decides, you know, I'm going to start counting the Jewish people. Now, right, we generally know how the Torah feels about a census. The Torah is not happy about it. In fact, the Torah says that if you want to take a census, so you take a money from everyone, a coin from everyone, you count the coins, but no way should you count people. Right? The beginning of Parshas Kisisa. We know that when you count people, you're supposed to take coins. You're not allowed to count Jews. So now, because David accused the Kadosh Baruch Hu of being a Mesis, so Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to David and says, hey, I'll show you. So, Vayasas is David Bahem, Lemor, Lech Manoes Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu enticed David, and so now David now decides, you know, let me count the Jewish people. They gave him lo shakam and I kofer, and when he counted, he didn't take money, a kofer, a ransom. My ace moed, Amar Shmuel, Saba Chasne de Rabbi Chanina, Mishmei de Rabbi Chanina, Mishashchita Satamid, Achri Shasrika So. Meaning that for a certain amount of time, there was a dever, there was a plague, a pestilence, if you will, that that attacked the Jewish people from the time of the shechting of the Karban Tamid till the time that the blood was sprinkled, which is usually an hour. Right? Rabbi Yochanan Amar ad Chatzos Mamash, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it went from the time of Shechita till Chatzos, which is a half a day. And who was killed during this plague? So the great one amongst David. Now, and it was during that plague that Avishai ben Tsruya died. He was equivalent to the majority of the Sanhedrin, and that's what's meant in the pasuk when the pasuk says, I'm going to take from you totally Rav Shebahem. Rav Shebahem could be understood just simply means a lot of them. But the Gemara understands over here, it means take the great one from them. We are still on the story of the Dever that plagued the Jewish people because David took a census. Uvashchitz Re'ei Hashem Yinachem. My Re'ei Amarav Re'ei Yaakov Avinu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped the plague based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that stopped the plague? So the Gemara offers a couple of explanations. Number one, Re'ei Yaakov Avinu Dichtiv Vayomer Yaakov Ba'asher Ra'am. So it could be that it was the schus of Yaakov that the plague stopped. Shmuel Amar Efroshel Yitzchak Ra'ah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the ashes of Yitzchak. Now, whenever the Gemara says, the Gemara does not say this just here. The Gemara says this elsewhere as well. Don't ask me chapter and verse. I don't know where else the Gemara says it, but the Gemara has this elsewhere, this language of the ashes of Yitzchak. Now, the Gemara, of course, is talking about Akedas Yitzchak. The Gemara is treating it as if Yitzchak was actually shechted. Now, right, we've gone through the story recently in Rosh Hashanah. If you've been following the laning, so you know that Yitzchak was not killed. Okay. He was spared. So the language of the Gemara of Afro, Ephra Shel Yitzchak, that the ashes of Yitzchak, so it could mean on the simplest level that the aisle was replacing Yitzchak. So the when the aisle was shechted and the aisle was burnt, because it was an Ola, so the ashes of the ram is the Ephra Shel Yitzchak. That's the ashes of Yitzchak, if you will. That's the simplest level. I'll stop over there because I can't give you anything more than simple. Because I'm not capable. Shenemar the Elokim Yireli Haseh. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchamar Kesef Kipurma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the money that Moshe collected. Shenemar v'lakachtes Kesef HaKipurim Meis B'nei Yisrael. So in other words, that Kipurim, that atonement, right, and the double language, meaning it's not Kesef HaMechaper, it's Kesef HaKipurim. It provides multiple atonements. Atonements not just for that generation, but for future generations as well, notably the generation where David counted without collecting money. Rav Yochanan Amar, Beis HaMikdash Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what stopped the plague. Dichtiv Bar Hashem Yira'ah. Pligi Bar Rav Yaakov, Raidiv Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Echad Amar Kesef Kippurim Ra, Echad Amar Beis HaMikdash Ra, Umistaber Kaman Damar Beis HaMikdash Ra. The Gemara says, you know, if we allow logic to decide, it seems logical that it was in Zchus of the Beis HaMikdash that the plague stopped. Shenema Asher Yomar, Hayom Behar Hashem Yira'ah. It's interesting because it's really connected to the Afer of Yitzchak, meaning on that mountain which I will see, I will be seen. That was the cause of the stopping of the plague. We go on in the Gemara. Okay, we are done with the bathroom talk, at least for now. Okay, so the Gemara points out, and it took us to the story of Shaul and David. That a person should really conduct himself with a tremendous amount of tznius in the bathroom, even at night, even if nobody sees you. Presumably, you could say even nowadays when we have indoor plumbing. But in other words, there should be a degree of tznius while a person relieves himself in the bathroom. Okay, we move on. Rekika mekav chomer. No, I skipped, didn't I? Yep. Lo yikanes adam harabais b'maklo. So my kapandria, don't make a harabais a kapandria. It's a funny word. What does that mean? Amrava Kapandria Kishma. So just as the name itself indicates, meaning just listen to the word Kapandria. All right, did that help anybody?
No.
Okay, good. So Rav Chana Bar Abba Mishmei Rav Sama Breid Rav Mari Amar Kamanda Amar Inish. So here we go. In other words, it's like an acronym. Ad Makifna Adre or Adare Eil Beha. In other words, Kapandria is really a contraction of the following words. Ad makifna, before I go around, meaning right now I want to get from point A to point B. So right, we learned this back in math, back in our younger years. So the shortest distance between point A and point B is going to be a straight line. Now let's say that straight line takes you right through a shul. Okay, so you say to yourself like this, look, I got to get from point A to point B. So before I go all the way around the shul, ad makifna, from the word hekef, from the word hakafos, right? I'm so current with the time of year it is now. So before we go around, Adare, around all those rows, meaning all the pews of the shul, Eil Baha. That's the second word, the word Kapandria. For the Kapand is from the Kifna Adare. Eil Baha, that's the end of the word. I'm going to go right through the shul. I'll walk through the shul. I'll use the shul as a shortcut. Good. So that's what it means. Meaning you can't use the Harabais as a shortcut. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Bar Barvu. I nechnas the base haknesses amenash loy lasos kapandria mutal lasos kapandria. Let's say your original intent was when I go into the shul not to use it as a kapandria, meaning I'm going to the shul to learn to daven. In other words, I need to go into the shul, and then after having gone into the shul, now obviously you have to be intellectually honest. Obviously, this heter is not for the person who's going to say that there's a need for him to go in the shul. This heter is only for the person who actually needs to go into the shul. And then after in the shul, he says, you know, as long as I'm here, so I need to get to the other side, then you could use the shul as a shortcut. Rabbi Abba Amar, im haya shvil mikaro muter. Let's say there was already a public path going through the shul, and the shul was built around this public path. So interestingly enough, the Gemara says that the shul does not revoke the right of the public path. The public path still remains a public path, even though it's walking, the path is through the shul. Okay, hard to imagine, by the way. In other words, it sounds like the shul here that we're describing is not like a closed building, but it sounds like, you know, there's, you could so to say, walk through the property of the shul. It sounds very similar to the first point that we made. I'm not really sure what the difference is between this point and the first point, which is that if you're going into the shul in order to daven, so then when you finish davening, you could use the shul as a shortcut. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, which speaks to this idea. Okay, the Gemara is going to have a fascinating discussion. Are you allowed to spit in shul? I know that sounds bizarre. Back in the good old days, you know they used to have spittoons, right? In people's houses, it was popular. Okay, it's not. I mean, the whole act of spitting now is not popular, but spitting used to be like much more formal, right? I remember my baseball players; they all spat, but then they all chewed tobacco, so it's a little bit different. But the Gemara is going to now deal with the following discussion: are you allowed to spit in shul? So you remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that in the Har Bais, you're absolutely not allowed to spit. And so essentially what the Gemara's discussion is going to be is, I know that's true in the Har Bais, but is that also true in Shul? Now you think to yourself, of course. Well, so the Gemara is going to discuss. Amar Bibi Amar of Yeshua ben Levi kol harokek b'Har Bais b'zman hazeh ki l'rokek b'vazeno. So first of all, you go to Har Bais nowadays, and you spit in Har Bais nowadays, that's like Kavi Yochel, as if we could say it, it's like you're spitting into the eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Shenemar v'ayeh ein ivel libi sham kol hayamim. My eye, my heart will be there all days. Amar Rav Rukika bebeis HaKnesha shayeh. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rava, you are allowed to spit in shul. Mida davi amino. And the Gemara says, and Rava says, and how do I know that? Because look, we all go to shul and we all do something which is somewhat shocking. We wear shoes to shul. Right? All of us do it. We're all guilty. Now, if you remember, the Mishnah says that when you go into Har Bais, you're not allowed to wear shoes. In fact, shoes are forbidden on Har Bais. So you see that the shul, even though it's a mini base of Mikdash, doesn't follow the same rules as the Har Bais. So what Rava's argument is the following. Well, if you're allowed to wear shoes in shul, even though they're forbidden in Har Bais, so you're allowed to spit as well. Okay. Ma'amin al b'Har Bais, asa b'beis ha'knesses smutar, frikika b'Har Bais, hu'ud asar, b'beis ha'knesses shari. So, amir le'rav papa le'rava, v'amir le'ravina le'rava, v'amir le'rav adar b'masna le'rava, ad yalaf imenon, ne'lef b'kapandria. Well, you know, you're not allowed to use the Har Bais as a shortcut, and you're not allowed to use a shul as a shortcut. So just like we have some of the Isurim of Har Bais translate over to a shul, so why don't you say the same thing by spitting? So Amalei Tani Yalav Mimena Va'atamar Mikapandria Mahi. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, let's learn a Braisa together, and then we're going to understand Rava's point. Now the Braisa reads like this: Lo Yikana Sodom Har Bais Lo B'Makel Shviyadom V'Lo B'Menal Shabiraglo. You're not allowed to walk into Har Bais not with a staff in your hand and not with shoes on your feet. Not with a money belt, and not with it behind you. I don't know. It was like a purse, if you will, that they had behind them. They put it on their back. Don't make it a shortcut. And certainly do not spit while you're in the Har HaBayis. I'm sorry. It's the next word of the Braisa, which is super important. Urikika mikal v'chomer mimino. And look, mamino she'en bo derech bizayon. Meaning, is there an affront to not wearing shoes? No. In other words, there's no offense by not wearing shoes. But Amar Torah, shal na'alacha me'al raglacha. I'm sorry, shal na'alacha me'al raglacha. But nevertheless, when you walk onto a makom kadosh, you have to take off your shoes. So rikika she derech bizayon l'kol shekein. So if you have to take off your shoes when you go into the Har HaBayis, you certainly cannot spit when you're in the Har HaBayis. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Amar Nasar Chari Amar Ki'ein Lavo El Shar HaMelech Belvush Sap. The Gemara quotes from Megillas Esther, you can't go into the gate of the king while wearing sackcloth. Alo Dram Kavachomer. Uma Sak Sheinu Maos Lefnei Basa V'dam Kach Rekika Shehi Me'usa Lefnei Melech Machi HaMelechem L'Kol Shekein. Look, if sackcloth is an affront, and it's not really offensive to wear sackcloth, can you imagine spitting? Gemara says, my point is like this. Okay, in other words, before we go on in the Gemara, his basic point is that the whole idea that you're not allowed to spit is really derived from not wearing shoes. But in shul, we do wear shoes, so presumably you are allowed to spit. This is Rava's argument. So Amar Lei Anach Hachi Kamina Neima Hach Lachomer Hach Lachomer Veima Har Bais Tos Mimino Lofi Mimino Aval I'm sorry Aval Deshari Bimino Adiyalef Mimino Leheter Neilef Mikapanjio Lehaser. Meaning, look, I'm kind of with you. Meaning, I understand your basic point that just like we're allowed to wear shoes in a shul, you're allowed to spit in the shul, but you're not allowed to make a shul a shortcut. So why can't you therefore assume you're not allowed to spit in a shul as well? Ela amarava ki beso ma beso kapanju a kapininish a rikika omina lo kapininish a besa kineses kapanju de osa rikika omina shari. So the Gemara says that, you know, think of it this way. This is now Rava's second argument. Think of it this way. Just like your house, would you like it if somebody walked through your house as a shortcut? No. No. In fact, you'd probably say to them, get off my property. So, and meanwhile, spitting and wearing shoes, are people makpid? Now, it's funny, because if somebody took the leisure, the liberty of spitting in my house, I'd probably say to him, that's not something I'd really want. Okay, but again, you go back to a time where spitting in the house was something which was much more acceptable. So, huh?
You had dirt floors.
And you had dirt floors, and you had spittoons, and okay, so in other words, so people, generally speaking, are not makpid about spitting. And if somebody takes off shoes in your house, you're not that makpid. So the Gemara says the same thing is true with the Beis HaKnesses. Compound you as usher, but spitting and wearing shoes is going to be mutter. Okay, it's so interesting because essentially what the Gemara is doing now, the second argument of Rava, is it's comparing shuls much more to our homes than it is to the Har HaBayis. Meaning in the Har HaBayis, shoe wearing is prohibited, and spitting is prohibited, and making a shortcut is prohibited. But the shul, in terms of what's kavod of a shul, so look at it more as our house than as a mini Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and I understand that that's a little bit strange because, generally speaking, we're instructed to look at the shul as a mini Beis HaMikdash. But the conclusion of the Gemara is very odd. You're allowed to spit in a shul. That is the conclusion of the Gemara. Just like we wear shoes to our shul nowadays, we don't take them off, so too, we are allowed to spit in our shuls. Funny conclusion. All right, let's go a little bit further for today. I don't want to fall too far behind. We are going to finish Masechta tomorrow, Mir Tzashem, but let's go a little bit further. Kolchos me brachos b'mikdash kol kach lama lefi sheino onin amen b'mikdash. We don't say amen in the base of mikdash. Therefore, when we hear a brach in the base of mikdash, so we give a longer response. Minay sheino onin amen b'mikdash shenemar kumi brachos Hashem lokecha min olam v'alam v'omer v'yavarchu shem kvodecha umeromam akol bracha u'sihila yachol kol brachos kulan lahen tehila achas tamalomer umeromam akol bracha u'sihila. Okay, the Gemara quotes Pesukim Nechemiah. It's clear from the Pesukim Nechemiah that every time there's a bracha said in the Beis HaMikdash, the response is not just a simple amen, but it's more elaborate, it's more intricate. Could be the Gemara does not say this. I'm saying this, so take it for whatever it's worth. Could be the Beis HaMikdash, or just there's more cover in the Beis HaMikdash. So a simple Amen, which generally works for I'm with you on what you just said, that's not enough in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash requires more. Now the Mishnah was making the point that when you say hello to somebody, you could say Shem Hashem. And it's not, you're not being motzi shem shemayim levatala. And it's not, you're not violating the third of the Aseret HaDibros. And that's fine. So my v'omer v'chitem abo'ez midaitid enav shekamar. Well, you could have made the argument, if all the Mishnah did was just quote the pasuk from Boaz, where when he saw his harvesters, his kotzrim, he said, Hashem imcha gibor achayel. And maybe Boaz was just, he was going rogue. So the Gemara says, So that's why you have the second pasuk. The second pasuk is telling us that the malach does it. So Tashma, al tavoz ki ziknecha imcha, v'omer eis lasos l'Hashem efer sorasecha. And then the Mishnah makes additional points, which is that if this is the way that your forefathers conducted, you could do this as well. And then the Mishnah quotes the pasuk of Eis La'asos Hashem Efer Sarasecha. There are times when you are allowed to quote unquote violate the Torah when you're doing so to honor the Torah. Amar Rav Aikra Mireish LeSefer Madrash MeSefer LeReisha Madrash. Just a couple of days ago, the Gemara talked about Darshing Pesukim front to back, back to front. The Gemara here does the same. Mireish LeSefer Madrash Eis La'asos Hashem My Time Mishum Efer Sarasecha. Sometimes you have to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that sometimes you have to punish people. Why? Because they abrogated the Torah. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. And now we're going to go the other way. From back to front. Sometimes we are instructed to abrogate the Torah. Because sometimes that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Now, again, you know, I made the disclaimer last time we did this pasuk. I'll make the same disclaimer again now. Obviously, this is a very, very dangerous concept where if I'm as long as I'm trying to fulfill the word of God, so sometimes I need to break the Torah, right? That it could be used and abused, and I think over the course of the last couple thousand years it might have been, but the classic example that's given to this, I mean, first of all, we're in our context in our Gemara, we're talking about when greeting someone using Shem Hashem. That's how we're discussing it. The other classic example that's given is writing down the Torah Shabbat Peh. Rav Yehuda Anasi wrote down the Torah Shabbat Peh, even though the Gemara in Gittin tells us, was it like Daf Samach? The Gemara in Gittin tells us that you're not allowed to write Shem Hashem. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh, but Rav Yehuda Anasi felt, I need to, because if I don't, we're going to lose Torah Shabbat Peh and Eis La'asos Hashem. Tanya Elo Zakenom Ebeshah Machnisim Pazir Ebeshah Semefazim Kaneis. And we're just going to do a little bit more for today, and we'll be done. Hillel HaZaken says that when people are there's no great people teaching Torah, so and you don't consider yourself great, get out there, go teach, right? And b'shas mefazrim kaneis. But if there are great people out there giving shiurim, so then. And you know you're not that great, so don't. The imra ita dorsha torah chaviv alecha pazer. If the masses are really eating it up, so then go out and spread Torah. Shenema yesh mefazer v'nosaf od. The imra ita dorsha ina torah chaviv alav. But if the masses are not interested, kenos retract. Shenema yisal sal sashem efir sor secha. Okay, another interesting application of this idea. That if the masses are not interested, and even though there's a mitzvah to spread Torah, but don't. Darsh Rav Kapara, Zalas Kavot Kane Mina, Basad Leis Gavar, Taman Havi Gavar. When the prices go down, that's the time to buy. Some just very simple, straightforward business advice. And Basad Leis Gavar Taman Havi Gavar, in a place where there is no man, you therefore have to stand up and become the man. Taman Lo Te'ava Gavar. What if there is a place where there is a man? Right? I know we always hear B'makom She'inish. What if it's a bamakam sheyeshish? So then, Abaye says, so at that point in time, there's no reason to stand up and be the man if there's already a man. Pshita lo nitzrach ela b'shishneim shavim. The Gemara says, okay, but what if, like, you and him are equal, but he already is an appointed leader? So should you get up there and also, like, challenge him, compete with him? And the Gemara says, no, you really shouldn't. Give me one pasuk in one short pasuk where the entire Torah is connected. Noah kashbarch in every way. Amarava filu dvar avera, and Rava says even if it means lidvar avera. Darshba kapar lo yelamid adam is beno umnus nikiya vekala. Teach your child a profession that is easy and clean. My he, the Gemara says, well, give me an example of that. Rav Chista, machto de tam yusa. Rav Chista gives the example of stitching. Stitching is a very easy profession. It's a very clean profession. And the Gemara says, an example of something that you should teach your son how to do. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the two dots. Tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem, we finish. Tomorrow evening we get together in the sukkah here at the shul. I'm going to suggest we're going to meet after Mincha Maariv, and we'll have a Simchas Beis Rosh Hashanah, whatever you want to call it. But we'll be Mesayim Masechta Brachos tomorrow evening here at the shul.
What time?
After Mincha Maariv. Mincha is at 6:50.